1 Corinthians 1 in your pew Bible on page 1128 and in the large print Bible, page 1770. This scripture reading should look a little familiar if you were here last week. Again, that is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, not many were influential, not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Our good Father, we thank you for the blessing of your holy and inerrant word. We thank you for its power, for its truth, for the way it transforms us, Lord. We pray, God, the Holy Spirit upon us, that we would be prepared to receive what you reveal. Heavenly Father, I pray that this preacher does not get in your way, that it would be your message. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So there was an innovative surgeon, a great English surgeon. His name was Sir Astley Cooper. And he was visiting Paris, and his counterpart there in Paris, a prominent French surgeon. And they had been working on refining a new surgical technique. Now the Frenchman asked Dr. Cooper how many times he had performed the surgery. And Dr. Cooper said, I have done the operation 13 times. Ah, but Sir Astley, I have done it 160 times. How many times did you save his life? Continued the curious Frenchman, after he had looked at the face of Astley and just seen the amazement in his eyes. I, said the Englishman, saved 11 out of the 13. How many did you save out of the 160? Well, I lost them all, but the operation was very brilliant. How many popular ministries might result in the same verdict? Souls are not saved, but the preaching is very brilliant. Thousands are attracted and operated on by gifted speakers, but how tragic if they should have to say to their admirers, "I lost them all." But the sermons were very brilliant. My concern is the co-opting of Christmas by the culture. My concern is the surrendering of Christmas by Christians. Jesus is the pivotal person in human history. On the surface, it would seem that the annual celebration of his birthday would be a great evangelical event. Free marketing. It should motivate people to know the Messiah. Instead, Christmas has been compromised by covetousness. Tinsel and toys take precedence over the Christ child's coming. Why might this be? In large part, we Christians are to blame. We fail to tell the story properly through ignorance or indifference. For instance, we include the Magi in the Christmas story in our nativity scenes. This promotes the gift-giving aspects that dominate our annual celebrations. The truth is that the Magi may have arrived up to 2 years after Jesus' birth, as Matthew chapter 2 clearly states. Now, this is important. It's not just a technicality, because the tenor and the seriousness of the situation are diminished if we don't know the full story. King Herod realized that the Magi ignored his commands to return home. So, he ordered the killing of all boys under the age of 2, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. This insight shows the necessity of a Savior in a fallen and broken world where babies are killed. And it is logical to assume that the gifts from the Magi financed Joseph, Mary, and Jesus' escape to Egypt. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, warning him to flee. Almighty God provided for this new family to survive. Think about how many children and families are suffering around the world this Christmas. Another reason Christmas isn't what it should be is because of the foolishness of those that are perishing. Their carnal minds are darkened against the truth that they are sinners in need of a Savior. Their hearts are hardened by sin and self-centeredness. Now, earlier this week, I read an article. It was entitled, "Why Christian Movies Are So Terrible," by Jared C. Wilson, a pastor and a professor at a seminary. Here are a few of his thoughts. "The paint-by-numbers aesthetic of the new wave of Christian movies persists in making the faith to appear trite, inauthentic, corny, and worst of all, as far as the culture goes, uncool. Why, despite all the gains made in technology and budgeting, can't Christians make good movies?" he laments. Or let's consider this. The gospel always sounds offensive to the world. Maybe Christian movies that articulate faith content clearly are destined to be laughed out of the theater, regardless of the excellence of their cinematic context, if only because the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. What if there isn't any way to make the gospel sound cool? That's something worth pondering for Christian moviegoers and Christian movie makers alike. In any event, if your movie is going to get laughed at for being Christian, maybe at least make sure it's because of the cross and not because it's corny. Now, as I pondered why our faith seems foolish, I thought about an old comedy routine by Bob Newhart. Now, I know a couple of you are old enough to remember Bob Newhart, right? Okay. And he used to have this routine he would do using a telephone where you would just hear his side of the conversation. And I thought particularly of the one where he makes believe he's Admiral Doubleday, trying to introduce his game of baseball to a modern game company. And they think it's pretty funny because to people that have never heard about baseball before, it certainly seems very complicated and convoluted. Now, I'm going to ask you to to imagine with me that that Bob Newhart came today at my invitation. He was a little busy, so I have to fill in for him. But imagine that that the angel Gabriel is trying to get the story of Jesus published. And he calls a literary agent named Lucy Furr to help him. There's a joke in there if you're paying attention. Okay. He needs Lucy Furr to help him find a publisher. So here we go. And forgive my amateurness at this, but hopefully it'll be a little fun. All right? That's what phones used to sound like, right? Flip phones, too. They used to do that, too, right? Good morning. This is Lucy Furr, literary agent. Good morning, Angel. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Angel isn't your first name. It's what you are. Gabriel. So, Gabriel, how can I help you? What's the title of the story? The Gospel? Good news to whom? Okay, Jesus is the good news. You know, Gabriel, biographies aren't really selling nowadays. Oh, in that case, Savior of the world, Son of God. Well, that's a different kettle of fish. He comes as a baby. You know, Gabriel, that's already been done. Have you read the Superman story? I'm sorry if I seem a little skeptical. Human parents, huh? Mary, Joseph, a poor couple from the country. But Joseph isn't his biological father? Oh, now that spices it up. Not really? Mary is a virgin and the Holy Spirit comes over her? Slow down, Gabriel. That's a lot to take in. A host of angels appears to a bunch of shepherds. Again with the angels, Gabriel? Say, is this a gag? Okay, Gabriel, let's jump ahead a little bit. Jesus gathers a group of guys together to change the world. 12 uneducated blue-collar guys. He's an unemployed carpenter? Homeless? Birds of the air have nests and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head? I'm sorry I asked. Miracles. Many miracles. Feeding thousands with a few loaves of bread. Walking on water, raising the dead. Oh no. No, Gabriel, I'm still here. So, Gabriel, how does he save the world? He dies. The hero of the story dies on the bloody cross. But God raises him from the dead and he ascended into heaven on the clouds. Where does the saving the world come in? The Holy Spirit comes and the church is formed. You know, Gabriel, I don't think I'm going to be able to help you out. The story just isn't credible enough for my publishers. You might want to consider self-publishing. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you have a nice life too. Goodbye, Gabriel. I imagine that's how it might go nowadays. Now, in a manner of speaking, the Bible was self-published. As a matter of fact, the Bible is the best-selling book of all time with 5 billion copies sold. And the church is the vehicle by which God intends to share the good news of Jesus. Now, here's a picture of a church. This is Absecon Church. Satellite view. Isn't it amazing what they could do with technology nowadays, right? So, it's on Church Street right there. You can see that's Church Street. There's the original sanctuary. And the social hall is over here. And so this is Church Street. It seems like an appropriate name for the church, where the church is, right? Now, Carol and I drive by there all the time. That's our home church. When we first got here in 98, that's where we started. Also, you can see this is the end of Pitney. That's the P for Pitney right there. This is the corner right there. Pitney, as you know, goes all the way to Port Republic, which is one of the reasons why we drive by there all the time, because our grandkids are in Port Republic. So we're out there all the time driving down Pitney around that corner. So this last Friday night, we had a special night. Our son and wife, Amy, had a work Christmas party. And we went out to Port Republic to have dinner with our grandkids. Just us without the parents to interfere. You know, so it was good. So there's four of the grandkids from Port. There's one from China and one from Vietnam. Now, those aren't really our grandkids, but we kind of adopted them into the family. They're international exchange students going to Pilgrim. So after dinner, we came here to Emmaus for the Sharing and Caring Coffee House, ate about half the desserts that were here, and with the eight of us, and there was good sweets, good people, and good music. Then we were off to our home in Upseekin to put up our Christmas tree. And it's kind of nice because they're old enough now where I can just sit on the couch and watch them put it up. So that's kind of nice. And then Carol made popcorn, and we played some games, and then it was time to go back to Port. So we get to Church Street, and we're coming up here. This is the entrance to the back parking lot, and just about at that entrance, there's an SUV stopped. A little strange, not sure what they're doing. And then as I got up to them, they accelerated. I think they thought they were in a drag race, and they start heading up Church Street, and I realize they're going across the intersection and they're going to enter here. There's a big do not enter sign right there in the corner. Big, red. They drive right by it. I start beeping at them, hoping that it would get their attention, but no, they keep on driving. So this prompts some discussion. Carol says she's not surprised. She sees people driving up that street the wrong way all the time. But usually, because they know it's one way, they back up the one-way street. You know, because that way if the cop stops you, at least, hey, I was pointed in the right direction. Our grandson Nate suggested that maybe their brains are pointed in the wrong direction. Yes, many people are going the wrong way when it comes to things of the church. We live in a strange time when everyone does what is right in their own mind. For me, one of the most tragic things is that too many church-going folk are worshiping a Jesus of their own concoction. It is a cultural Christ. It is a savior of their imaginations. They do not worship the Jesus of the Bible. Therefore, they cannot model the Jesus of the Bible. They cannot share the Jesus of the Bible. They have a weak, powerless shadow of faith in a fictional character that never existed. Most Americans hope for a type of Hallmark movie Christmas. If you have seen many of these movies, I don't put them on, but trust me, I've seen a lot of them. Right, Carol? Now, if you've seen these movies, the Christ child, Jesus, is only heard about very infrequently in a Christmas carol. Commercial Christmas is the window dressing, a framework for a love story. Now, it's not the love of God for us or our love for God. Christmas is a backdrop for entertainment. The reason for the season is politely ignored. The scriptures tell us that Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. The sadness of the human condition is that we want to make the rules. We want to establish the boundaries of how God works. Somehow, the infinite, incomprehensible creator of all things must bow down to our feeble apprehension. Notice the crown here in the Hallmark logo. I ask you, who is your king? Who is Jesus? Have you made him Lord and master of your life? Is Jesus your king? Do you know him?
The Bible says, my king is the king of the kings. king, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies
many times, and it still chokes me up. That was Dr. S.M. Lockridge. This is Christ's tree. Let us always remember that the cross of Calvary is the destination of the baby Jesus who comes on Christmas morning. Let us always remember that the gloss and glitter lose their shine on Golgotha. Yes, Christmas is a joyous celebration because Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the baby Jesus. We thank you for his sinless, perfect life, for his sacrifice to reconcile all of humankind to be made righteous in your eyes through those that confess the Lord Jesus and believe in their hearts. Lord, I pray that anyone here today that has not done that they make Jesus their King this day. In this season of celebration, let us look for opportunities, let us pray for opportunities to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let people know that the Savior has come and he will come again. I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.